Harry took advantage of the temporary silence to eat more breakfast. Hermione was peering into Fred and George's boxes, though every now and then she cast sideways looks at Harry. Ron, who was now helping himself to Harry's toast, was still gazing dreamily at the door. "What's this?" Hermione asked eventually, holding up what looked like a small telescope. "Dunno," said Ron. "But if Fred and George have left it here, it's probably not ready for the joke shop yet, so be careful." "Your mum said the shop's going well," said Harry. "Said Fred and George have got a real flair for business."
"That's an understatement," said Ron. "They're raking in the galleons. I can't wait to see the place. We haven't been to Diagon Alley yet, because Mum says Dad's got to be there for extra security, and he's been really busy at work, but it sounds excellent."
"And what about Percy?" asked Harry. The third eldest Weasley brother had fallen out with the rest of the family. "Is he talking to your mum and dad again?"
"Nope," said Ron.
"But he knows your dad was right all along now about Voldemort being back."
"Dumbledore says people find it far easier to forgive others for being wrong than being right," said Hermione. "I heard him telling your mum, Ron."
"Sounds like the sort of mental thing Dumbledore would say," said Ron. "He's going to be giving me private lessons this year," said Harry conversationally. Ron choked on his bit of toast and Hermione gasped.
"You kept that quiet," said Ron.
"I only just remembered," said Harry honestly. "He told me last night in your broom shed."
"Blimey! Private lessons with Dumbledore?" said Ron, looking impressed. "I wonder why he's..."
His voice trailed away. Harry saw him and Hermione exchange looks. Harry laid down his knife and fork, his heart beating rather fast, considering that all he was doing was sitting in bed. Dumbledore had said to do it. Why not now? He fixed his eyes on his fork, which was gleaming in the sunlight streaming into his lap, and said, "I don't know exactly why he's going to be giving me lessons, but I think it must be because of the prophecy." Neither Ron nor Hermione spoke. Harry had the impression that both had frozen. He continued, still speaking, to his fork. "You know, the one they were trying to steal at the ministry."
"Nobody knows what it said, though," said Hermione quickly. "It got smashed."
"Although the prophet says..." began Ron, but Hermione said, "Shh." "The prophet's got it right," said Harry, looking up at them both with a great effort. Hermione seemed frightened and Ron amazed. "That glass ball that smashed wasn't the only record of the prophecy. I heard the whole thing in Dumbledore's office. He was the one the prophecy was made to, so he could tell me. From what it said," Harry took a deep breath, "it looks like I'm the one who's got to finish off Voldemort. At least, it said neither of us could live while the other survives." The three of them gazed at one another in silence for a moment. Then there was a loud bang and Hermione vanished behind a puff of black smoke.
"Hermione!"
shouted Harry and Ron. The breakfast tray slid to the floor with a crash. Hermione emerged, coughing out of the smoke, clutching the telescope and sporting a brilliantly purple black eye.
"I squeezed it and it punched me," she gasped.
And sure enough, they now saw a tiny fist on a long spring protruding from the end of the telescope.
"Don't worry," said Ron, who was plainly trying not to laugh. "Mum will fix that. She's good at healing minor injuries." "Oh, well, never mind that now," said Hermione hastily. "Harry, oh, Harry."
She sat down on the edge of his bed again.
"We wondered after we got back from the ministry. Obviously, we didn't want to say anything to you, but from what Lucius Malfoy said about the prophecy, how it was about you and Voldemort, well, we thought it might be something like this. Oh, Harry."
She stared at him, then whispered,
"Are you scared?"
"Not as much as I was," said Harry. "When I first heard it, I was, but now it seems as though I always knew I'd have to face him in the end."
"When we heard Dumbledore was collecting you in person, we thought he might be telling you something or showing you something to do with the prophecy," said Ron eagerly. "And we were kind of right, weren't we? He wouldn't be giving you lessons if he thought you were a goner, wouldn't waste his time. He must think you've got a chance."
"That's true," said Hermione.
"I wonder what he'll teach you, Harry. Really advanced defensive magic, probably. Powerful counter-curses, anti-jinxes."
Harry did not really listen. A warmth was spreading through him that had nothing to do with the sunlight. A tight obstruction in his chest seemed to be dissolving. He knew that Ron and Hermione were more shocked than they were letting on, but the mere fact that they were still there on either side of him, speaking bracing words of comfort, not shrinking from him as though he were contaminated or dangerous, was worth more than he could ever tell them.
"And evasive enchantments, generally," concluded Hermione. "Well, at least you know one lesson you'll be having this year. That's one more than Ron and me. I wonder when our OWL results will come."
"Can't be long now. It's been a month," said Ron.
"Hang on," said Harry as another part of last night's conversation came back to him.
"I think Dumbledore said our OWL results would be arriving today."
"Today?" shrieked Hermione. "Today? But why didn't you... Oh, my God! You should have said..."
She leapt to her feet.
"I'm going to see whether any owls have come."
But when Harry arrived downstairs 10 minutes later, fully dressed and carrying his empty breakfast tray, it was to find Hermione sitting at the kitchen table in great agitation, while Mrs. Weasley tried to lessen her resemblance to half a panda.
"It just won't budge,"
Mrs. Weasley was saying anxiously, standing over Hermione with her wand in her hand and a copy of the Healer's Helpmate open at Bruises, Cuts and Abrasions.
"This has always worked before. I just can't understand it."
"It'll be Fred and George's idea of a funny joke, making sure it can't come off," said Ginny.
"But it's got to come off," squeaked Hermione. "I can't go round looking like this forever."
"You won't, dear. We'll find an antidote, don't worry," said Mrs. Weasley soothingly.
"Bill told me Alfred and George are very amusing," said Fleur, smiling serenely.
"Yes, I can hardly breathe for laughing," snapped Hermione.
She jumped up and started walking round and round the kitchen, twisting her fingers together.
"Mrs. Weasley, you're quite sure no owls have arrived this morning?"
"Yes, dear, I'd have noticed," said Mrs. Weasley patiently.
"But it's barely 9. There's still plenty of time." "I know I messed up ancient runes," muttered Hermione feverishly. "I definitely made at least one serious mistranslation. And the defense against the dark arts practical was no good at all. I thought transfiguration went all right at the time, but looking back,